That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Amen. Yes. I'm glad I don't know. I work as though he's coming back in 50 years, but I live as though he's coming back any second. Amen. There's only one thing I'm really concerned about. I don't mind if he comes before, after, or mid, but as long as I go when he comes, that's the main thing I'm concerned about. I'm not too worried about the rest. But I know there's a lot of theories. I had to teach it at Bible college. And at the end of the day, there is a few things that we know for certain. When he comes, whether it's the first or second, or whatever it is, there'll be a flash of lightning from the east to the west. And then we who are alive shall be caught up together with the Lord. Amen. Or the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we'll join the Lord in the air. And then we will forever be with the Lord. And Paul said, to be with the Lord is far better. Amen. Woohoo! Anyway, we won't get on to preaching that. By the way, I married Rosanna. When I first met her, the first time I got alone with her, I was about 18. And I said to her, will you marry me? And she said, yes, 6 years later. I gave up waiting. And then one day she said, well, when are we going to get married? And we realized we couldn't, so we got engaged. Believe it or not, we got engaged at the Gold Coast. Then we were working in our band and we were down at the casino in Hobart and they wouldn't let us out. So we told them, we have to go back to the mainland. We're getting married. And the hotel manager said, I can do weddings, do it here. Oh, we thought, no, we want to get out of this place. So we came back to, joking, anybody from Australia, from Tasmania, forgive me, but we came back to Australia. It's not true. We came back to the mainland and we got married there and we've been married ever since. Marriage is good. Woohoo! And I used to tell the teenagers back in those days, a married life's the best life. And then I had to add, but don't rush into it. Amen. And by the way, if you're thinking of marriage and your pastor even raises one eyebrow, don't. Isn't that the truth? It's better to go to him rather than go and say, God told me to marry this bloke or this girl. Say, I was thinking about this person. What do you think? And if he goes, well, then put the brakes on. Amen. Amen. Anyway, let's get back on the job. So Rosanna and I met. We got saved. Our band got saved. Everyone was saved. We were going along having a great life, playing in concerts. And then we didn't know how to reach the kids in the school because we had lots of opportunities to play in schools, but we didn't have any opportunity to give an altar call. You can't give an altar call and you can't preach. Although, I got to admit, we did go into one school which was dominated by another religion, which in Victoria, if you mention, you can get into trouble. That's as good as saying it, right? And I remember there they said, you can't preach and you can't do this. So we did a song about Jesus and it goes, and it's got actions. And it goes, Jesus came to die for me. Then you go, defeated the devil at Cal. And all of the kids from the other religion were all singing it, amen? So we couldn't preach Jesus, but we sure sang Jesus. You know, playing in concerts is fun because you get there about 3 p.m, you set everything up, you have a big light show, big sound guy, do all your sound checks, get yourself ready, go in the back room and Rosanna puts her makeup on and sprays her hair and all that. We even had a hairdresser traveling with us at one stage. But when you play in a school, you know how it goes? Oh, you can play in the hall. Well, when can we get in to set up? When the bell goes at 5 to 12, you hear ding, 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 ding. Right, you can set up now. Ding, ding, ding. 12 o'clock, the kids are in. And you just got to start. And you know what that was? Good training for mission trips. Where they don't even get you there till after everyone started. For a musician, it's very embarrassing. Anyway, move along. So we were wondering how to reach the kids in the school. And then Rosanna and I went away for a week of prayer and fasting. And I look back on it and I think, I don't even know why we had to pray and fast to find out this strategy. It's so obvious. And God said, play in a different school in a given area, one school per day, and have an outreach on the weekend and invite the kids. Okay, why didn't I think of that? Anyway, we did our week of prayer and fasting. Then the door opened for it straight away in Bendigo. And we went up there. First school, rough. Not a very good reception. Second school, better. Third school, I'm sure there was a mother's group or someone praying for that school because the kids were wide open. And then when the kids used to like our band in the schools, we had another strategy. Because sometimes they say, can I have your autograph? And so we thought, what a great idea. And we, before they would ask, we would give them a piece of paper and say, can I have your autograph, right? And they go, yeah, sure. But by the end of the school concert, we had a lot of names on our prayer list. And we played in 5 different schools in Bendigo. And it came Saturday night and we had an outreach in the Kangaroo Flat Hall, which I think is gone now. And we came into play. It was packed. We'd been praying and seeking God for all these names. And we started to play and the front of the hall was packed. And this is back in the day when at Youth Alive, if 10 got saved, they had a landslide. And we're playing and I'm looking at all these kids and thinking, oh, they must all be Christians. Anyway, sooner or later, it comes time for me to preach. And what I used to do was keep my bass on and we'd play a few songs, get everybody interested. Then I'd slip in a few words about Jesus. And if they're still listening, I'd go a bit further. Then we'd play another song before we lost their attention. But it came a time when I had about, you know, some time to preach the gospel. So I was really going for it, preaching the gospel. And when I preached about Jesus, all these kids down the front were cheering. And then I said, the devil, and they were booing. And at the end, Jesus died on the cross, and they weren't happy. Then I told about him rising from the dead, and they're all cheering. And, of course, your brain goes in all kind of different directions. Is that the truth? And my brain's telling me, oh, they're all Christians. And I thought, well, I didn't come this far to not do an altar call. I'm going to do an altar call. So I was up here. All the kids were just there, probably not even this high. And I said, right, now, if you're really serious about giving your life to Jesus and saying those special words, because you can't use the word prayer because I don't know what that is apart from the rosary, saying those special words to invite Jesus in, come to the front. And then I saw the kids all shuffle a bit, look at each other, and they're looking back at me, keen. And I'm going, no one's moving. So I repeated it. Still no one's moving. I said, well, I'm saying the prayer anyway. So I said the prayer, everybody repeat after me. We went through the special prayer and then they told me, if anyone gets saved, send them out the side door, which is right where the front door of the building is. Tell them to go along the corridor and we'll have some Bibles in the back room. And while I was there, I was thinking, if anyone is saved and I send them out the side door, they might go out the front door and just go home. So it had stairs like this and I'm standing there in front of all these kids and I said, right, if you said this prayer and you really meant it, just come up over the stage and go into the back room. And when I looked around, the whole lot were coming. I was so shocked. I looked at the drummer and he was shocked. And we're trying to play another. We didn't even know what to do then. And so when that was over, and you know, the names that got saved matched up to the names on our prayer list. It was just so amazing, and I'm still speechless about it. And I know there's a lot of people getting saved now, but when that happened, there wasn't too many. And that was so amazing. Because remember, the first time I ever tried to witness, I was at the Sunday school picnic at the Methodist Church in Long Warri, and there was an unsaved guy in the river, and I jumped in next to him and smiled, and he fed him and punched me right in the mouth. And that's what I thought witnessing and evangelism was. So when I saw all those kids get saved, I thought, we're on a winner. So we just kept going. And doors opened for us for about 10 years for schools. But the next night, I mean, that night, when we finished, we packed up the truck. We packed up all the equipment, and I was the only one with a truck license. So I had to drive back, and it didn't have a heater. And I remember it was July. There was ice forming on the mirror outside. It was freezing. And I'm sitting there driving. And as I was driving, the devil spoke to me. Think of how cheeky he is. And he said, they didn't really get saved. And then he said, they only came forward because they liked the music. So I prayed to God and I said, God, is that true? Did they get saved or come forward only because they liked the music? He said, no, they came to the concert because they liked the music, but they got saved because they heard the gospel. Amen. I don't know how I got on this topic. I've got to tell you one other story. So one of these events came up in Narracourt, which is just over the border into South Australia. And the man from Narracourt rang up and he said, I've got a great idea. Now, I'm a sucker for a great idea. I usually say yes before I find out what it is. One guy said, I've got a great idea, Dave. And I said, yes. What is it? And he said, do you want to do a beach concert? And I said, yes. And we went down and set up on the beach. But guess what? It was right where the outlaw motorcycle gangs come for their Sunday picnic. And we're set up in front of them playing. And there's this guy with a leather jacket yelling at me. Rah, rah, rah. And, oh, man. What did I do? preach the gospel. Anyway, we got to Narracourt, played in the school. Interesting. But the man in Narracourt kept telling me, he said, there's a combined churches outreach and we're having a combined churches prayer meeting. And I thought, man, for once I don't have to do all the fasting. This is great. And as I was driving there, God spoke to me as I was driving the truck and he said, Dave, you should be fasting. And I said, no, I don't have to. This is a combined churches outreach with a combined churches prayer meeting. And God is always... Who knows that? Yeah, okay. I made a mistake. The first school seemed to go okay. And I don't know if we did another school, I don't remember. But we had to play opposite the strip shopping center on Saturday morning to get people interested. And it's right next to the hall where we're doing the outreach. So we were playing loud. And apparently, instead of winning them over, we got all their backs up because nobody had been. Thank you, Sister Carol. Pastor Carol, thank you. Nobody had been praying and fasting. Amen. I didn't know what kind of a disaster I was walking into. But I just kept saying, tonight, we'll be back here in this hall. Well, by the time we got into the hall, there was seats like the two lots of seats here. There were school kids sitting all through there and an aisle up the middle. Well, up and down that aisle, as we were playing, and I started to put a bit of word in. But when it got round time nearly to preach, every demonized person in town started parading up that aisle and yelling at us. Thankfully, a friend of ours called Tex Houston was playing keyboards with us, and he's kind of a little bit deaf. He's good at reading lips, and he can play music. He's the only one that can hear you in a concert without yelling. Play it again. He knows exactly what you said because he reads lips. But he couldn't hear what they were heckling. So I turned to him and I said, give your testimony, Tex. Because I forgot to tell you, but just before this concert started, I quickly set up and got myself out into the combined church's prayer meeting. And when I got there, there were two other young men. And one of them said, I've got to go and pick up someone. And the other one said, so do I, see you. And guess who the combined church's prayer meeting was? Me. And I'm going, I'm in trouble. And so I got Tex to give his testimony, and I learned a lesson that day because I went in the back room and I said, God, what do I do? And God spoke to me. He said, preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I got in there, and by then Tex had finished his testimony, and now every demonized person in town is all standing right here in front of me where I've got to preach. And they're yelling, as you know what they do at politicians, how they yell to try to stop them. All of them are yelling at me as hard as they can go. But I had the microphone, amen. School kids are sitting back there, so I started to preach. Then I found out how to preach without taking a breath. That's right, I can preach without taking a breath. I just kept going like that because I'd listen occasionally to see if there was anything worth commenting on, but most of the time there wasn't. So I just kept going like that. I said, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth. He showed us what God is like. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. He lived such a good life. There were people that hated him. And at the end of his life, they finally went through. They gave him false imprisonment, a false trial. And they mocked him. They criticized. They ridiculed him. They whipped him. They put him on the cross and they killed him. But I want to tell you right now that Jesus didn't die. See, I started preaching like that. Might as well keep going now. He didn't die for himself, amen. Jesus died for me. He died for you. He's never done anything wrong, but he's the only man to die sinless. But he died for sin. He died for my sin and for your sin and everything we've done wrong. And Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, amen. They crucified him dead and buried, but he didn't stay dead. Woohoo! And they're still yelling at me flat out. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to give up any opportunities. So I said, if you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, this is the time to do it right now. Then I thought to myself, how on earth am I going to get them to repeat the prayer? I'm coming down, sorry. How can I? Oh, forgive me, I forgot about you guys. How on earth can I? That's where the light shines. How on earth can I get them to say the prayer? I don't know how to do this. And so I said, okay, if you really say this prayer and really mean it with all your heart, Jesus will come into your life. So everybody repeat after me. That's right. Everybody repeat after me. I didn't leave any gaps. I said, okay, everybody say this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus. Thank you. And we went right through the prayer. And then with all the yelling still going on, I said, who here gave their lives to Jesus? And hands went up everywhere. Woohoo! The gospel is the power of God under salvation. Anyway, that's just so I can introduce myself. If you've got a Bible today, let's open up to Mark chapter 4. And I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter where you go, there's always opportunities to preach the gospel. I may just stay on this subject. There's always opportunities, isn't there? One day I was at my house, and Rosanna and I, we didn't quite know how the bank loaned us the money to buy our first house. Apart from the fact, and it's a true story, I was in a hotel in Gladstone, and someone said to me, "Oh, I've got a block of land for sale. You want to buy a block of land?" And we just said, "Yes." They took us and introduced us to the local building society who gave us a loan. You know how much our block of land was? $4,400. We were paying for it and paying for it for about 5 years. And then when we needed a house, suddenly we got a telegram, it's a long time ago, and says, "We have an offer on your block of land." I didn't know about negotiating. I didn't know about values. But we rang up and they said, "Someone's offered $13,000. I said, "I'll take it." It went up to $13,000. It might have been worth $30,000. I didn't think about that. But then we rang up the estate agent and had $13,000 to put down on a house, and the bank gave us the rest. So we got our first house. They would never loan money to a muso. Amen? God is a genius. And a very short time later, we all got saved, and a lot of things happened in that house, but the carpets weren't very good. Anyway, they were just sitting there. It looked like a leftover from somewhere, but it was a green, light and dark green, flecky sort of colour, right? I wanted to paint the walls green, but someone told me, "Don't do it, you know, just leave it." Anyway, one day, a vacuum cleaner salesman came to the door. So I said, "There's opportunities all around." So he knocks on the door. I go to the door. And I want to talk to you about a vacuum cleaner. So I said, "Come in." But I had an ulterior motive. He sat in the chair telling me all about his vacuum cleaner. And I said to him, "Excuse me, mate, you've got to think this is 1982. How much is that vacuum cleaner?" He said, $800. I said, "Mate, my carpets aren't even worth $800. Now, has anyone told you about Jesus?" He said, "No." He left with his vacuum cleaner, born again. Amen. I don't think so. I think it was. Anyway, it was a good house for musos. And then one day we went into the recording studio to record, probably one of those albums we're talking about. And Rosanna just said, "Today I'm going to lead the assistant engineer to Jesus." So she went in there, started, and it was a girl called Melita. And Rosanna was talking to her, and she didn't rush it. She didn't do anything. And the next thing, she came out and said, "I led her to Jesus." So right there in the workplace, this is another story. One of the engineers from that studio, I went in there one day, and who's ever seen those big 2-inch tapes they run on and reels about that big? That goes so fast because they're miles long, right? And he's rewinding it flat out, and it's got and anybody knows anything about science, you'll know this is a miracle, because it's got four numbers on the counter, four numbers. And he turns to me and he said, "Dave, I'll give you $80 if you can stop that on 0000. And I thought, he does not know what he's dealing with. So I just put my hand on the button like this, and I went, thank you, Jesus. And I hit the button, and it stopped right on 0000. And he said, "Oh, Dave, I was only joking about the $80, right?" And I said, "I forgive you your debt." But you know what? It was no time until he was born again. I tell you, Jesus is everywhere and anywhere you can think of. One day we're sitting in our house and Rosanna's sister rang up and she said, "I want to come and see you." And Rosanna said, she got a gift of faith, and she said, "I'm going to lead my sister to Jesus today." So her name's Chrissy. Chrissy came in and she was walking all around and Rosanna was talking to her. And after a while, she opened up and explained a problem she was having with one of her children. And Rosanna must have said, "You need to get born again." And Chrissy said, "Do I have to tell my husband?" So I hope he's not watching this. But we're still praying for him, put it that way. He's a great guy, but he's never been interested. But anyway, she says the prayer because Rosanna thought if she gets born again, there won't be any problem with telling her husband. What's that? Yeah, Rosanna said, "You don't have to tell him." "No, you don't have to tell him." So she said, all right. She got born again. And when she went home, she walked in and she said, Rosanna told me about Jesus today. And he goes, you didn't get saved, did you? And she goes, yes, I did. God is good. He's on your side. He's with you. Amen. Anyway, now time's really getting away. I want to just share with you something very important from the Word of God, which I share everywhere I go. Why? Because I know how important it is. Now, I know John the Baptist said Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Is it too loud to hear me? I know God is a genius, isn't he? Oh, it got louder. God is a genius. I share this word everywhere I go because even though we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, we have to remember, and I'm going to get you to help me on some of these scriptures. Here we go. We have to remember that this is what the Bible says about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was. And then in John chapter 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So the living Word of God took on flesh and bone. That's the one who got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the Word. Amen. Our old pastor down in Richmond used to say, all Word and you dry up. All Spirit and you blow up. Word and Spirit together and you grow up. You need to get the anointed Word of God. Amen. Meditate in the Word until it comes alive. And when it does, it is Jesus in operation. And when you speak the Word of God, that's the same as if Jesus was speaking the Word of God. That's why we get anointed in the Holy Ghost. Not to go without the Word, but so the Word can come alive. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was. Woo! That's why I say everywhere I go, and you can repeat this afterwards, eat the Word, sleep the Word, think the Word, say the Word, preach the Word, pray the Word, meditate the Word, study the Word, learn the Word. You can sing it, shout it, say it, and pray it. Amen. You can find it in a book. You can find it in a phone. You can find it in an iPad, an iPod, and behind your eyelid. Amen. And get it on the iPhone. The Word of God is important. You can sing it. You can sing it in praise. You can shout it in prayer of warfare. You can say it in teaching. Sing it, shout it, say it. And you can pray it at the throne of God. Jesus said, my words are life to all that find them and health to all their flesh. His words are life and they are health. Amen. Jesus said, my Father's commandments are life. They are living Word. And so he wants us to get the Word in us. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me and... You don't know that one? And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He said, if you're thirsty, you should have asked me for water, and the water that I give you will be a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... And I determined years ago that no matter what we do, if we're going to lift Jesus, it has to be filled with life. Glory to God. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about the Word of God. And I know that we need more Word now than we've ever had before. Who knows Psalm number one? Psalm number one. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the... Yeah, different versions are yelling back different things. He stands not in the way of... And he sits not in the seat of the... But... A but is a big word in the Bible, isn't it? But... His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates how often? Who does their devotions in the morning? Don't put your hand up. Who puts their devotions at night? Is that enough? Because he says day and night. We need to have that in your phone. Amen. You can put it on when you're asleep. You can have the Bible on when you're driving. You can have the Bible on when you're milking a cow. As a matter of fact, we're having the Word of God. The word of God is where the action is. Amen. God does nothing but and first tells it to his servants, the prophets. We've got to eat the Word, sleep the Word. You say it with me. You ready? Eat the Word, sleep the Word, think the Word, say the Word, drink the Word, pray the Word, meditate on the Word, study the Word. You can study the analysis. You can study the rhetoric. You can study the biography. You can study it by book, by theme. You can study the Word of God in the Old Testament, the New Testament. You can get it at Bible College. You can get it on YouTube. You can get it on the pastor on Sunday. You can get it on his teachings. You can buy a book. You can buy a CD. You can buy Rosanna's album. Amen. That's got the Word of God in it. You can get the Word of God 24/7. And we've got no excuse, because the more the Word goes in, the more it goes in. I'm going to read the Bible now. Here we go. And they're racing. Yeah. And again, can anybody hear me? And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them. Jesus was a teacher as well as a preacher. So he went around teaching, preaching, healing, casting out demons, and announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. He taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, this is actually covered in my book called The Day God Explained Himself. I haven't got time to do the introduction, but if you could see here, that what's the first two words written in red? In Jesus' teaching on the day God explained himself. And remember, after this parable, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't get any of the parables. And then it went on to say, without a parable, he spoke not to them. And he even said, is a lamp lit to be put under a bed, but it's put on a lampstand. Why? Because nothing is hidden that shall not be revealed. God's will is to reveal it to us. Amen. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. That sounds sad. Then the next word is, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. God wants you to know stuff. And the first parable is the day God explained himself. I call it the greatest teacher with the greatest content, using the greatest technique, but it's hidden in plain sight as a children's story. We don't realize how important it is. What's the first two words here? Jesus said, when he opened his mouth, and finally it's a day for God to explain himself, he said, listen, look. Amen. He said to you, that is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He said, so they will listen and understand. Or he actually had that in the negative. Listen is a very, very important instruction. Jesus wasn't just warming up his voice like an Aussie. We go, now listen here, sonny boy. Look here. Don't we? That's just how we warm up our voice. But Jesus is giving us an instruction. Listen, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. If anybody has ears to hear, let him hear. So listening is crucial, but then he gives a second instruction. Listening or behold. Then the next one is look or behold. Look, behold. Listen, behold. In other words, Jesus is telling us what to do with parables. And you probably know the story. A soul went out to sow, and some fell by the wayside, and the birds got it. Some fell on the rocky ground, and it sprang up, but it didn't have any roots. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. It produced no fruit. Some fell on good ground and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Then he said, I'm going to read it again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all parables? And then Jesus gives the explanation, which I'll come back to. In verse 23, he said, there, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So he started the parable, right in the middle of it, he put it again, and at the end, you've got to hear it. And now he makes an instruction that I want you to see. Verse 24. It might miraculously appear. This is Mark 4, 24. He said to them, take heed what you hear. I'm reading the New King James. Take heed is an interesting word. I don't know why it's translated the way it is, but it's the same Greek word Jesus used when he said, I only do what I see with my Father. It's the same word. So in other words, he's saying, look at what you hear. Isn't that the way he started the parable? Listen, look. Now we're saying, look at what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again. Isn't that fascinating? Oh, but Jesus, why don't you do for me what you did for my brother so-and-so down the road? He says that the measure you use is the way it will be measured to you. This is a very condensed version of this message, trust me. Measure of what? Measure of heeding. You know, when I first read this, I started meditating on it and I thought, well, what kind of measure? Some things you measure in kilograms. Some things you measure in meters or feet and inches if you're an American. Some things you measure in time. Some things you measure in liters. What kind of a measure is he talking about? And then I remembered something that the girls would be very interested in. You measure diamonds with carrots. Who understands that? So why not potatoes? I don't know. But you measure diamonds with carrots. Given the colour and the clarity, a diamond with more carrots is more valuable than a diamond with fewer carrots. Is that true? Everybody that's been engaged knows this for sure. Amen. Or if you've reached the 75th anniversary or whatever it is. So you measure diamonds with carrots. And then I saw it. Jesus is telling us it's the value we put into the Word of God and the way we measure it in our life will tell us how it works for us. It's no use looking at someone else. And you know, my apology, Pastor, if this is too heavy, but the Bible says that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Is that true? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Why? Because God won't change His Word. It's forever settled. Some people say, oh, but God is sovereign. He can do what He likes. And He did. He wrote it all down, signed, sealed, and delivered it in the blood of Jesus, and He will not change it. Can you imagine if you said to Jesus, Jesus, do you mind just changing your Word just this once for me? Right? Imagine what would happen the next day at the throne of God. Can you imagine the devil saying, you changed it for him, you can change it for me. Right? Can God change His Word? Let's all hear this together. Can God change His Word? What happens if He changes it for you? It's all over, isn't it? It's all over. So it's a covenant and this is it written down. So what we need to do is find out what the Word says and live according to that, because you'll never get it to work if you don't. Some people are saying amen. It just simply won't work if you do it any other way. And so it's now saying to Jesus, but Jesus, I've been out preaching. I don't feel good. Jesus, just this once, why don't you just help me out? And He says, according to your measure, it will be measured to you. It's better to come and say, thank you, Lord, that by stripes I'm healed. My God shall supply all my need. God is the strength of my life. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, what about this one? God, you know, some guy was on the ground kicking his feet and crying, oh, God, give me a message for Sunday morning, Lord. No, it wasn't me. I don't remember doing it. I probably did. Oh, Lord, give me a message for Sunday morning. Please have mercy on me. And God says to him, how did I tell you to approach me? With boldness. Amen. What does that look like? Did you know the word boldness, if you look it up in Greek, means the same? It means this. It means frank, blunt confession. Frank, blunt, all outspokenness. That's what it means in Greek, in Strong's Concordance. And so God wants us to come to Him like this. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me. Sorry to the guys on this side. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the Word. Thank you, Lord, that I have the mind of Christ. I'm one spirit with the Lord. You've given me the blood of Jesus. I have access to the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. And you've got to kind of almost, you would never do this, but you've almost got to have the attitude of, I'm coming in, Lord. And you, let me tell you a story to illustrate. One year between Christmas and New Year, Rosanna and I and some of our Muso friends decided we were going to spend that week in prayer and fasting during the day and fun and feasting at night, rather than do what we used to do and back in the days when we're in the band and you had to go and play places and play all the old New Year's Eve songs, and I still don't know what they were. It was a very hard night. Anyway, we're there praying, and you know, after a few days of this, we weren't interested in the fun and feasting. We were praying and praying and praying. And I remember being there, and suddenly this thought came to me. And it came like this. Either I am the righteousness of God, according to the Word of God, and I'm born again, or I'm not. Either I am or I aren't. Either I am what God says I am, or the Bible's not true. So I must be the righteousness of God. And if I'm the righteousness of God, everybody say that, righteousness. Don't forget the end part. Righteousness of God. How righteous is that? I look back on it now and I realize that if we are the righteousness of God, and righteousness means both right standing and right actions, but if you really think about it, right actions put you in right standing, so it's about right standing with God. If we really have God's standing, then we have as much right to be at God's throne as God does. I don't deserve that. But that's what God did for us. Amen. So I said that night, I said, if I am the righteousness of God, I'm going to the throne of God now. Amen. And you know how long it took to get there? Instantly, I was there. I didn't know what to do next. I hadn't thought that far ahead. And I realized I was at the throne of God. And all I know is that God pointed his finger at me. No, he said to me, what is it that you really want? You know that scripture that says, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it? It's what do you desire? What do you really want? What is it that stirs you to get up in the morning, pushes you all day? He's talking about something strong, a strong motivation. What is it that you want? It's no saying, oh yeah, Lord, new car be good, just park it on the lawn. You know, he's talking about what do you really want? And when I got to the throne of God, he said to me, Dave, what do you really want? And I said, I want to carry the spirit of revival. And he went like this. And I thought, this is serious. You will have to take responsibility for that. Well, I wasn't in the throne room very long after that because I thought, that's serious. But that's how long it takes to get there. And we shouldn't approach a throne room like this. Oh, God, please have mercy on me. You know, some people approach God like this. Omnipotent Father. And I'm not sending anybody up. Omnipotent Father, who reigneth transcendent across the universe, we wouldst of thy clemency that you would bestow upon us one mercy drop, but we're unworthy worms. Is that coming to God according to the word of God? No, that's just a lot of, anyway, something you wash animals with. That's just not good. So what does the Bible say? Come with boldness. We come in there and we say, God, I am born again. I am a new creation. The Bible says that I am righteous and holy and unprovable, unreprovable and unblameable in your sight. I have the mind of Christ. I'm one spirit with the Lord. And I'm here right now and I'm declaring the word of God in your presence. Amen. By whose stripes ye were healed. Or whatever it is that you want to interact with God with. And God likes that. God is a faith God. He won't change his word for you. But if you come with the word of God, you're coming the right way. He won't change it. Amen. You've got to find the word and speak the word. Amen. So the measure you use is the measure it will work for you. How does that work? Let me explain. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the one I got. Who sits not in the seat of the sinners or whatever. Who stand? What is it? Who? That's right. I got it all wrong. Anyway, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord is another way of saying word of God. What does delight mean? It means he finds it a valuable thing. There's that measure. If you want the blessing of God, you have to find... Oh, I've got a Bible today, normally out of my phone. If you want the blessing of God, you have to find this valuable enough to invest your life into. Amen? Jesus talked about a pearl of great price and a treasure hidden in a field. Rosanna and I were living the dream. We're living on a canal in view of Gold Coast, of surface paradise at the Gold Coast, in a big two-story house, which we rented with the help of a lot of boarders. Amen. But we were living what a lot of Aussies would think was the dream. But it wasn't my dream. I wanted to be in the Word day and night. I wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. Amen. Didn't Jesus tell Martha, one thing is needed? How many things?
One.
What is that one thing? Hang on.
Sit at his feet.
Amen. That's what Mary did. She sat at his feet and listened to his word. Jesus said one thing. Amen. How many things?
One.
Oh, but what about feeding the dog? How many things?
One.
You know, a lot of people followed Jesus out onto the mountainside one day and he was teaching to them for several days or whatever. Who organized to feed the dog? Who was looking after the shop? Who milked the goats? Jesus didn't stand at the end of that and say, you irresponsible people, You didn't even bring food for your children, did he? No. What did he do? He fed them. Why? Because they chose the one thing that's needful. You've got to sell everything to buy the pearl of great price. We got out of our house at the Gold Coast. We moved out of that one. We bought a house we could afford, and it happens to be in a place called Bacchus Marsh. We do have a river, but it's not the Gold Coast. We have a river. We bought on the floodplain because no one else wanted to. But you know what we do there? We study the Bible. And since we've been there, that's where all those books come from. Here's some more of them here. That's Rosanna's book. This one here is called 50 Days of Love. Woohoo! This is the one I'm sort of almost preaching out of, The Day God Explained Himself. It's thick. Woohoo! Because there's a lot to say. So I want to encourage you. Sell everything. Jesus said that. Sell what you have. Give the money to the poor. Come follow me. People don't like that. Sorry, Pastor. But we've lived it. Amen. We've lived it. And we sold our house. We sold our PA equipment. Put everything in the hands of God. But he said, if you give it all up for me, he said, I'll supply back to you 100-fold. We went to Bali to preach. And just then, the pastor's friend went on holidays and we got to stay in the house with a cleaner coming in once a week. The next time we went to Bali, and I don't like Bali for holidays. It's weird. I went to Bali the next time, and they said our other friends were on holidays, and we lived in a huge mansion with two servants full-time looking after us. Amen? But they didn't see that all those years before we sold our house, took the cash in our hand, and gave it to someone to give to the poor. I want to tell you right now, Jesus' word is truth. Amen? Woohoo! I might be too scared to ever get back. I don't know, but I'll finish off. Amen? So what does he say? According to the measure, who uses? Thank you. Yes, me. Good. Thanks. According to the measure I use, it works for me. But according to the measure you use is how it will work for you. You want to be healed? It begins in the Word. You want a better prayer life? In the beginning was the Word. You want more money? In the beginning was the Word. You want to run a business? In the beginning was the Word. Peter was on the side of the shore. And Jesus came and said, I want to use your boat, Peter. And Peter invited Jesus into his business. Right into his business. And remember, Peter had been fishing all night, toiling. And how much did he catch? Nothing. He said, we toiled all night. In other words, with no light. And we caught nothing. When did toiling enter? Fall of Adam and Eve. True? Right. I'll tell this story quickly. When Jesus comes into your life, he came into Peter's life. What did Jesus do? This side here is more interested. What did he do? He blessed him. What did he do from the boat? It's in Mark chapter 4. It's in Luke chapter 5. What did he do from the boat? He taught them. He taught the Word of God. All day he taught the Word of God. Taught the Word of God. So that when you invite Jesus in the beginning is the
Word.
You need the Word of God. Amen? His words are to all that find them and help to all that. Woohoo! I'll say it again in a minute. You ready? Eat the
beginning.
Eat the word, speak the word, think the word, say the word, preach the word, pray the word, meditate in the word, study the word, learn the word, grow in the word. You can analyze it, you can memorize it, you can sing it, you can shout it, say it, and pray it. Amen. The word of God is because in the beginning was the
word.
And the word was with God, and the word was the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him, and anything was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You want life? There's life in the Word of God. You just got to take so much of it in till it overflows. Amen. And that's what's called ministry. What story was on? That's right. Peter is listening to teaching all day. At the end of the teaching, Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. What Peter doesn't know and what most of us don't realize is while Jesus was teaching the word, every fish in the lake, every fish upstream, every fish downstream were swimming. And they're swimming all into one spot just out there. And Jesus is teaching. And Jesus only did what he saw with his Father. True? He only spoke what he heard with his Father. Jesus is teaching, teaching, teaching. He gets the word of God. He knows what to do. He says to Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, we've been toiling in our own strength all night under the curse with no revelation. And we caught nothing. And to which we say, oh, duh. And he rose out and he said to Jesus, you want me to let down the... Now remember, it's on the end. What did Jesus want him to let down? And he said, I'll row this way. But nevertheless, at your word, Jesus, I will let down the net. Net. Jesus told him plural, he let down one net. What happened? It broke. It says he caught so many fish, his net was breaking. So when he gets back to shore, what does he have to do? Mend the nets. Why? Because he didn't fully obey Jesus. And I'm going to finish on this story today, seeing that noise is there. When we first came to the Gold Coast, I'm doing great on time. This is amazing. When we first came to the Gold Coast, we took over the Bible College at Surf City. But we had a second campus at Calbar. Do you know where Calbar is? It's between Ipswich and Boona. You know what sort of hailstones they have out there? Big ones. Yes. And you know, if they land on your car, it's going to be dinted all over. So I'm getting ready to teach one evening out there, and a lady came in, and her face was white, literally white. And she said, I drove here in my husband's brand new car, and he just rang me up and said, there's a huge storm coming. Do not get my car dinted. And I know what kind of a risk that is. So I said to the class, all right, there's a storm coming. Do you want to have hail? And they said, oh, no, no hail. I said, do you want to have no rain? No, they said, we want rain, but no hail. I said, all right, all rain, no hail. Let's pray. And you could see that they all go, yes, but they weren't really believing. I don't even know if I was believing, because it's possible to believe in here without up here. Amen. So I said, all right, in the name of Jesus, we declare all rain, no hail. Amen. Everybody said, they all go, amen. This lady was sitting there staring forward like this. And then I started to teach, and that roaring noise came on the roof. You couldn't tell if it's rain or hail or what it is. And you know what I did? I just kept teaching. I was teaching and teaching, and the devil saying, it's all hail, the cars at the end of the oil. And I didn't listen to the devil. Amen. I just kept teaching the word, teaching the word. Think about those fish swimming. Amen. Teaching the word, teaching the word, teaching the word. And then it stopped, and I kept teaching till break time. And when it was break time, they all got up and rushed outside to see what happened. Ye of little faith, amen. And there was little leaves and branches and things all around, but it had been all rain and no hail. And you're probably looking at me and saying, that's not a miracle. Wait till the next night. Because the next night I wasn't teaching and I was watching the news. And they said, last night a huge storm came down. And they showed the radar of the storm, and it started as a huge clump of very heavy storm colour. You know what it looks like on the radar? And as it came down to where Calbar is, it went like a figure eight, went right round Calbar, and it joined up again and really hammered Ipswich. Amen? Woohoo! Sorry, there's too many stories to tell. But it's the measure you use is the measure it will work for you. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And remember, Jesus said to some people, you have no faith. How do you get no faith? No hearing. Then he said to Peter, oh, you of little faith. How do you get a little faith? A little hearing. That's the truth, isn't it? I'm a scientist in the background, and it's an equation, all right? So when he says to someone, great is your faith, what have you got to have to get great faith? Great hearing. It's no saying, Lord, give me the same faith as Billy Graham. God's saying, in the beginning was the word, amen? Give me the same faith as Smith Wigglesworth so I can raise the dead. In the beginning was the word. It's all available to you, every bit of it. You can fulfill your dream. You can fulfill your destiny and your purpose. God is on your side. Nothing is hidden that he doesn't want to reveal. He wants you to know it. He wants you to have it all. He's not holding anything back. That's why his prayer promises say, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you will have it. Amen. And we say, but what if God says no? Well, there are some things God says no to, like, Lord, please help me rob the bank. He says no, all right? But if, as long as it's not against the word of God, and as long as it's wholesome and doesn't hurt anybody, go for it. Believe God for it. But it won't necessarily come if you haven't got faith. You've got to develop your faith. You've got to know the Word of God. So that's why I always say, and you're ready to repeat it now. Are you ready? I'll try to go slower. Eat the Word, sleep the Word, think the Word, say the Word. Preach the Word, pray the Word, meditate on the Word, study the Word, analyze the Word, sing the Word, memorize the Word. You can study the book by book. You can study a theme. You can study a personality or a biography. You can study the systems of the... That's not the word. The harmony of the Gospels. You can study it, the conversation Jesus had with his disciples. You can study it at home group. You can study it at church. You can study it in your quiet time. You can have it in the car. You can have it when you're doing whatever you do. I don't want to say housework, but that's mostly man's work anyway, isn't it? You men, when you're cleaning the house, you can have the Word of God. You can have it while you're putting on makeup. You can have it in the car. You can have it in the tractor. You can have it milking a cow. As a matter of fact, we're having it. The Word of God is God. How do we know that? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You're very good students. Back to the beginning where I started. Remember that special prayer of inviting Jesus into your life? Once I said it, I was never the same, especially when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. Yes, of course I believe in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues driving here this morning from the Gold Coast. Amen. An hour's worth of speaking in tongues, we tell people, the further we drive on Sunday, the more anointed we are. Speak in tongues. The Bible says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Amen. And I want to be edified because, as I said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And wherever I go, I've got to be full of life. Otherwise, I'm not showing Jesus. Amen. Amen. Children love Jesus. They don't love it when someone's going, oh, omnipotent Father who reigneth transcendent. That was the Pharisees trying to get a crowd for how good they could pray. We're not trying to get a crowd for how good we can pray. We're leading people to Jesus. Anyway, so today is the right time to give your life to Jesus. Why would you? Because Jesus understands eternity. Amen? He's the only one that rose from the dead to tell us how to get eternal life. Isn't that true? I could name other religious leaders. Did any of them rise from the dead? So Jesus said, I am the way. Does that mean there's other ways? Did any of them rise from the dead to say, oh, my way worked? No. No, they didn't. Buddha, you name it. All of those guys. Lenin, they had him in a tomb till he rotted. People would march by and look at his dead body. He didn't rise from the dead. But you know where Jesus is? He's alive today. Have I seen Jesus? Yes, I have. Have you? Who here has met Jesus? There's enough people here to convince any court that Jesus is alive. True, isn't it? Amen. What did Jesus achieve in his death and resurrection? He didn't die for himself. He died for you and me. And when he rose from the dead, he proved that his own innocent blood was sufficient to pay for what he died for, because if he didn't pay for my sins, he'd still be dead. If he didn't pay for your sins, he would be in hell today. But Jesus did pay for them, because that's what he died for. I know that's hard to get your head around. He didn't die for himself, he died for you and me. But when he rose from the dead, you know, it proves what he did works. Amen? And now he made it so easy for us, all we have to do is repent from our sin. In other words, turn from our old life and ask Jesus to come into our life. And he said, as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority, or the right to become the children of God. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And to make it even easier, in the book of Acts it says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? So what I want to do right now, I want to get everybody to repeat that prayer just like I did at Narra Court and just like we did over at Bendigo. And I believe today that if you say this prayer with all of your heart and really mean it, that Jesus will change your life. You know, in his own words, the change is so radical, so transforming, that the only way he could describe it is being born again. And in John 3, he says, you must be born again. Amen. So let's all say this prayer after me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I apologize for the way that I live. Please forgive me. Please come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin. I receive you as my Savior. I confess that you are my Lord. I will follow you as my good shepherd. I want to be born again. I want to have my name in your book. And I want to go with you when you come. And I'm asking for this in Jesus' name. Now, with every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you said that prayer today for the first time and really meant it, just want you to raise your hand up right now and I'll know who I'm going to pray for. Amen. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Just wave it around so I can see it. I've seen two hands now. Thank you. Three, four. Anybody else? Just put it up. Thank you. I've said God bless you to this man here. Okay. So now I want to pray for these people. Are you ready? You can join me in this prayer. Jesus, I pray for those that sincerely mean it today that have raised their hands, that right now that they would have an experience in their heart that is so radical and transforming, it could only be described as a new birth. That right now their old life is gone, their new life has come. Jesus is now Lord of their life and they're born again. They've been made the righteousness of God and now they too have access to God in their life and can have Him helping them. And I pray today, Father, that you'll give them revelation of what I've been talking about and they, like the rest of us, will have an absolute hunger and appetite for God's word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give Jesus a big round of applause today. Yes. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, David. If you could just hang around because we're going to open the altar for prayer in just a moment. And for those of you who prayed